You are listening to Inverse Autasky, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 8, Episode 3. Overview.
Welcome once again. I'm your host, Wade, and this is Allison.
Hello.
The product featured this time is a database. The software is titled FileFax Database Management System. And here's a blurb from their advertising. FileFax is the easiest to learn, simplest to use DBMS available today. Designed as a filing system for the businessman or hobbyist, FileFax quickly accesses records, retrieving information at exceptionally high speeds. FileFax can be used to keep track of a wealth of information about people, places, dates, or events. It has an 8-level sort, wide-ranging search capability, and powerful report generator. Use it for inventory control, customer files, mailing lists, purchase records, and more. You are limited only by your imagination. The publisher, TMQ, stands for Trademark of Quality. TMQ is based in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. The company was incorporated in Illinois on March 4, 1981, and dissolved on August 1, 1991. The file number is 523-14178. Todd Zipnick was the founder and president, who sadly passed away in 1991 of Hodgkin's disease. In 1991, the company had 45 employees. It appears that TMQ turned into ICOM Simulations, or ICOM, though that transition is not completely clear from the history I found. ICOM was known for games, and in the early 90s was a major developer for the NEC TurboGrafx-16 platform. The company was purchased by Viacom New Media in 1993, and in 1997 it was renamed Rabid Entertainment, and in 1998, Viacom New Media, ICOM, was formally dismantled. In January 2012, a former ICOM developer named Dave Marsh acquired the rights to the game portfolio. He and another ICOM developer, Carl Roloffs, formed Zojo LLC in March of 2012 and released upgraded versions of the previous ICOM titles.
Technical data.
The software was released in 1982, and again the publisher is TMQ Software Incorporated. The developer was Omniware. This does not require the basic cartridge. It came on disk and required 48K of memory. At the time it was released, it was $129, which is $407 today. There is a manual, an addendum sheet, and a reference card included. The manual is 156 pages cover to cover. It came in a 6x9-ish 3-ring binder. It includes a glossary of terms, a table of contents but no index, a tutorial, a function reference by means of the tutorial, error information, and platform information. The manual is well written, and the tutorial walks you through everything you need to know. It's written for a beginner, but won't impede anyone more advanced. Example, there are notes in line that tell you where keys are at on the keyboard. There are simulated screenshots, which are framed with a little computer screen and keyboard outline. As for the packaging, I couldn't find an image of it, and one note, the disc is copy protected.
Usage notes.
Once booted, the entire program is in memory, and you should remove the program disk. The title screen has a black background and white text. The color is the same throughout the program. Centered at the top is TMQ Software Presents. Then there are two lines of equal signs, with 9 lines between them. In that space between is the word file-fax, drawn out in inverse asterisks. Below the lower line, centered and in inverse video, it has Release 2. Below that is the copyright information on the two lines, which read Copyright 1981, 1982, and Omniware Incorporated. The next line has the serial number, and the bottom line is a prompt that reads Press any key to start. Once you do, the main menu is presented. There's some essential information that I want to talk about before discussing the menu. One record of data is essentially one screen. You can have up to 31 fields per record, and each field can be up to 40 characters. The total record size can be up to 880 bytes. You have up to 4 reports per database, which they refer to as database applications, or applications for short, and you can have 1 application per disk. A disk is automatically initialized when you create a new application. The main menu has 11 options, and they are broken up into four sections. Centered at the bottom is a prompt that reads, "Please enter your selection," and those options are A, data entry and retrieval, which is not in a categorized group. This is where you enter, change, delete, or display the data in your database or your application. Then you have a category group called utilities, and it has options B, define system characteristics. This is sort of the configuration utility. You can change your printer settings and other settings that define data entry and reporting printing. This is mandatory after your application creation before you can do anything else. Option C is catalog disk. This allows you to see a list of the application and report files on your database application disks. Option D is print an application screen. This lets you print out the application screen for your database. And you have option E, copy a disk. Use this to make backup copies of your database application disks. Then there is another category group called applications. This one has option F, create. This item is mandatory before using FileFax. It is where you create your database application. You can use an existing application form to create a new one. When creating an application form, you can't put fields on the first or the 24th line. The first line is reserved for text only to be displayed as the title, and the 24th line is reserved for status display. Form fields can be defined with square brackets or angle brackets. Square brackets will be displayed during data entry, whereas angle brackets will not. Each field in the form can have multiple attributes defined, which affect what can be input. At the core, they are alphabetic, yes or no, and numeric. And there are some advanced ones as well. Blank, which allows a space to be entered. Normally, every position in a field is required to be filled. You also have plus and minus, which allows the plus and minus character to be entered. And you have decimal, which allows a decimal to be entered. There's also dollars and cents, which ensures the value is monetary in nature. And there's a basic numeric validation field, which will ensure that there is only one plus or minus and only one decimal in the field. There are also attributes for left and right justification. It's important to note that the first field defined becomes the primary key, but a report can override this. You can also sort up to 8 levels deep, which is very nice. The next option is G, modify. This is where you change the definition of your database application and sort levels. You have option H, which is expand. This is used to add additional disk to your database application. You must have a drive for each one. On the Atari, you can have up to 4. Then there's another category group called report form. And in this one, there are 3 options, which are I, create. Here you define reports for your database application, and you can have up to 4 per database. The next option is J, modify, and this lets you modify reports that you've already created. And K, delete, this lets you delete reports that you've already created. I would talk about the files on the disk, but it has a relocated VTOC, so you can't see them. And the data disks also use a custom format.
Fun factoids.
The manual gives you several tips. One that amused me, don't leave your disk lying around when you take a break from your computer. Disks can easily be damaged by children and pets. Next, FileFax was also available for the Apple II, Apple II Plus, Commodore 64, IBM PC, the NEC, and the Osborne computer systems. And last, in the manual's machine information section, there is an indication of whether the platform supports inverse video or not.
Summary.
The program itself is entirely memory resident, so although you primarily work with disk 1, there is no disk swapping. As your data grows, it can spread across drives as well, up to 8 if you have an Apple and only 4 on the Atari, so fire up that 1050 stack. It's noteworthy to mention that I could not use the software without reading the manual. Once I went through the tutorial, it became much easier to use, so it's not exactly intuitive. The application form creation is extremely versatile. At the end of the creation process, it gives a nice summary screen that tells you how many records will fit on a disk. and ask you how many disk drives you want to allocate. For my test data, it allowed 1,620 records for one disk, topping out at 7,106 if I used four disk drives. That's a pretty large set for the databases of this era. One oddity I found was that help is invoked with Control G, where you think H would be a better choice. Once on the screen from the application form editor, do not press Escape to exit it. If you do, your edited form will be lost. Yikes! This is not on the screen, but the manual does warn you about it. Data entry and retrieval has some useful features that you can toggle on and off. One, you can have the program immediately write the record to disk once the last field is defined, or have it prompt if the data is correct. Second, you can toggle the ability to recall information from the last record. When entering my test data, this was useful for recalling the season number field. Just press return when this is enabled and that value gets populated on the next record. Aside from those nice options, the data entry option acts like a modern CRUD application. For those unfamiliar, CRUD is create, read, update, and delete. There are literally options for each of those functions on the application menu, as well as query and reporting options. The application screen also gives a nice summary status of the database, showing the number of used records, how many records are left, and the maximum number. Data entry is smooth, and you can move forward and backward through fields, which is a bonus. The query is pretty strong as well. You can do full or partial value matches and on multiple fields of criteria. It's very flexible. Reports have up to 5 sections: title, header, data, subtotal, and total. The report writer is easy to use and makes placing fields simple. You can subtotal and total on fields so long as they have been marked with the valid number attribute. In my examples, I set the minutes field with a valid number. The report shows a total minute count for seasons 1 through 7 of 2,317, which is 38.6 hours of content. Wow! When subtotaling, you have the option of ejecting a page between subtotaled sections, but you must configure that at the application level, not while generating the report. This option really shined on the episodes by season report that I created, essentially creating a page per season with subtotals for the season at the bottom of the data. If you print a report and tell it you don't want a custom sort, it will be sorted by the primary key, which is the first field you entered on the application screen. Specifying the use of a custom sort will use the sort order that you defined on the application screen. If you have reports that require different sorts, you will have to revisit the application screen and change the sorts between printing reports. Sorting occurs when using the data in a search or report context. My 86 record database took 5 minutes 45 seconds on a single drive to sort. Printing the report took an additional 45 seconds. At first, I didn't want to have to read the manual to learn how to use it, but after doing so and after working with FileFax, I'm glad I did. I enjoyed working with the product, and now that I have all the episode data in it, I'll continue to keep it updated. Sure, I could do this with a modern spreadsheet, but what fun would that be? What did I like about it? Several things. First, data input in the application form is efficient. It automatically moves to the next field once a field is filled. Next, common controls are used throughout. Example, Control Z will do the same thing no matter what you're doing, editing an application form, editing a report, inputting data, etc. By the way, Control Z is end and save. Next, extreme flexibility of the reporting. What good's your data if you can't report on it? Next, no disk swapping. The entire program loads into memory, so you never have to swap it out. And last, the ability to stretch your data across multiple disk drives. No other program featured to date could handle the volume of records that FileFax can. Over 7,000 for my database. What I not like about it? It is a little slow when sorting the data. That is because it doesn't appear to keep your data in memory, and instead sorts it on disk. Last, you can't use lowercase anywhere. Not on application forms, not on reports, not on data. Strictly an uppercase input. From a 1982 perspective, would I use it? Absolutely yes. Clearly, this was one of the best databases on the market, even if it was lesser known. From a retro perspective, would I use it? Absolutely yes. Even today, this is one of the best databases for the Atari 8-bit. I have to admit, many times I've seen the ad, and I had this in the backlog for the podcast, but really didn't pay much attention to it. And now I'm glad I did. This is my new favorite database for the 8-bit. For a bit rating, well, this product is superb. It gets an 8, but deserves a 9. Yes, it wasn't a program I could just run and use without referencing the manual, but once you use it a bit, you get used to it, and it becomes second nature. Yes, the sort is slow, but it doesn't happen too often. The product does everything it needs to, everything it says it will, and it's more flexible than many products previously featured on the podcast. You might be asking, wait, Data Perfect from LJK, which was featured on InverseTasky in Season 1, Episode 12, was a pretty good product. Yes, it was, and while it offers some features FileFax doesn't, the ease of use, large dataset sizes, and reporting really set FileFax apart from the competitors. You should check it out.
Listener feedback.
All right, I have some listener feedback for this time. Some of it from a recent episode, and some of it from previous episodes. Via Mastodon, Fluid Logic writes, "Love your show. What are your favorite Atari 8-bit productivity tools so far? MiniOffice 2 seemed to come close, but you mentioned that there were better standalone applications for each of the elements in the suite. Please name them." I did reply on Mastodon, but here's the short. If you listened to Season 8, Episode 1 recently, you know that OSS, the writer's tool, is right at the top of word processors. I really like this one. A database has been revealed in this episode that I really like, and at the end of Season 8, which will mark 100 episodes, I plan on doing a special episode establishing my top picks in each category, as well as other favorite software I've encountered. Maybe I'll do a Part 2 for The Worst Of as well. As for MiniOffice 2, it was quite involved and covered most everything a user could want, not a shabby package. The thing with software that does it all, and this is just my opinion, it is it sometimes misses some key features that power users want or need, and I'm not saying that MiniOffice 2 is in this category, just generalizing how I see these titles. Kind of like how Microsoft Works and Apple Works from 20 or 25 years ago used to be. They're good, but they're not perfect. But for many, they're good enough. I hope that comes across correctly. Thanks for taking the time to share your thoughts. Via Southern Amos, I received some feedback from Paradroid. He's writing in response to Career Counselor, and he says, "Listen to the one a few days ago. Great episode. I was surprised at how well that you said it had held up." Thanks for writing in. I appreciate it. And you're right, this held up quite well. This was also one of the episodes that I really enjoyed researching, perhaps because it was a unique piece of software, and perhaps it was because it was interesting. At any rate, I'm glad you listened to it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you. On Alcatraz BBS, I got a message from Gyark the Warden. He writes, "Another ball hit out of the park. I had no clue such a program even existed." And he's referring to Career Counselor. "I've said it before, at least in my head I did. You really should try and get some voiceover work. You have a very smooth voice. Maybe you can do an audiobook of Mapping the Atari. Lol. Keep up the great work, or you'll be sent to the hole." Thanks, Gyark. I appreciate the kind words. Your voice is something that you have to get used to hearing, and I'm glad at least it doesn't sound the way I quite think it sounds to everybody else. Thanks. And another message on Southern Amos, this time it's from Amos, and this is also in regards to MMG's Career Counselor. He says, "Laughing out loud, MMG Career Counselor, do you want fries with that? Another fantastic podcast from InverseTasky. Make time for these people. Wade's library is going back to 2014. I have been going through these on Apple Podcast app, and it's worth the trip. Amos." Thanks, Amos, for the kind words. I appreciate it, and I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast.
Special thanks.
First, I want to thank you for listening, I want to also thank WizWars for the superb chiptune 8-bit Raceway used in the intro, and need to thank TMQ Software for such a fine product.
Goodbye.